Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Good morning. My name is Diane Edelman. I'm an elder serving on session and a member of Presbytery's Incarnation and Empowerment Team. Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Divine light, shine on these words that they may speak again to us today. Shine on our hearts that we might know how to respond. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Listen to God's word. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Today's second scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush has not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
About 25 years ago, actually 25 years ago this summer, I had the opportunity to take part in a travel study seminar to the Middle East led by biblical archaeologists. It was the summer between my second and third, or my second to last and last year of seminary, and for 3.5 weeks, we traveled through Syria and Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Israel, and Greece to see the land that some Christian scholars call the fifth gospel because of the way that the land itself tells the story of God's relationship with God's people. One of the stops on this trip was to a 1,600-year-old monastery that claims to have been built around the burning bush, a bush that was, and I believe still is, alive and well, although no longer burning, in the courtyard of this complex. As the monk who was our tour guide that day stopped to talk about this massive plant, I took a picture, of course, and then we moved on. And when I returned to the United States and developed my film, because it was 2001, I saw something in the picture that I hadn't even noticed the day in the courtyard. On the left side of the composition was the monk who was telling us about the bush. Filling most of the frame was the subject. But off to the right, sort of behind and against the wall of the courtyard, was a fire extinguisher. That was my reaction as well. I'm sure it was simply to meet a safety standard or some code and to protect this piece of botanic and biblical history. But gosh, it was funny to think about that this famous bush might spontaneously combust again and there would be something nearby to put it out right away. I wonder what Moses would have paid for a fire extinguisher the day the bush in front of him began to burn. Moses was living in Midian, a region outside of Egypt, a bit east of the Sinai Peninsula. Having been born to a Hebrew mother when the Egyptian authorities were murdering the sons of their Hebrew slaves at the moment of their birth, he had survived when his mother had hidden him away as soon as he was born and then famously put him in the basket of reeds to float down the river when he was 3 months old. The daughter of Pharaoh found him and pulled him from the river and decided to raise him as her own child. Although somehow the text doesn't really explain how, he grew up knowing that he was Hebrew and not Egyptian. One day as an adult, Moses was watching his own people in their forced labor, and he saw an Egyptian beating one of his kinfolk. Moved by compassion and no small amount of anger, he killed the Egyptian and hid the body. The next day, he heard some of the enslaved folk talking about the story, and he realized that news of his action was spreading, and even the Pharaoh had become aware and now wanted to kill him. So to save his own life, he fled from Egypt and landed in Midian, where he met the local priest. Conveniently, the priest had 7 daughters, one of whom, Zipporah, became Moses' wife. Away from Egypt, away from Pharaoh who sought to end his life, away from the enslavement of his people, Moses settled into a new life. He worked for his father-in-law, keeping the flock. He and Zipporah had a son they named Gershom. He was out of the reach of Pharaoh. Presumably life was good, or at least life was unremarkable. Right up until he stumbled on that curious bush. in the wilderness one day. There have been times that I have read this story and been jealous of Moses. How wonderful it must have been, I think to myself, to have such an obvious message from God. How easy I imagine it would be to know exactly what God wants me to do if that message came with pyrotechnics and the divine voice talking right to me. But I don't think Moses saw it that way. He was curious, which is good for him. He was compliant, I guess better him than me. But he doesn't really seem exactly excited about what is to come. And that makes a lot of sense. What a scare it must have been. First, because of the actual flaming plant in front of him. But second, because this flaming plant was not being consumed. And third, because the voice of an angel, then that of God, delivered an unexpected and unimaginable, even dangerous call on his life. God was asking him to go back to Egypt, where Pharaoh had a bounty on his head. He was being called to go right to Pharaoh to ask for God's people to be released. Should he choose to accept this call, it would be a total upheaval to the familiar life he had built in Midian. It was a call that would not only challenge his comfort, but threaten his very life. For Moses, this burning bush was anything but the wonderful and easy sign I have imagined it to be. Instead, it marked a moment where he had a very important and difficult decision to make. A decision whose outcome he really couldn't predict or imagine. A decision that felt terrifying. A decision that would disrupt his life if he decided to follow this call. But also a decision that could lead to freedom. Fruitful and abundant life for so many more people than just himself. Literal burning bushes are in short supply outside of this ancient story. But figurative ones might be smoldering even among us. Throughout this year at First Presbyterian Church, we have been talking about the work of a task force that was formed really almost 3 years ago now. This group of highly qualified and extremely faithful people was asked by the session to consider the ways that the church's property could be used, maybe repurposed, possibly renovated, in order for it to be more of a financial asset than and less of a liability. The research that the task force undertook led them down a path that frankly wasn't where they thought they would go when they started. At one point, when they thought they were just about finished and had a fairly conventional answer to deliver, they were struck by the reality that what seemed like the best solution really didn't help the congregation with the financial challenges presented by owning and maintaining a building of this size with our current membership. So they asked for more time, and they asked for permission to think even farther outside of the box than they had been previously. Last winter, the task force shared with the session their outside-of-the-box conclusion that owning this building and this property are not the way to get the most financial value from them. And reflecting on this story from Exodus, with the tremendous help of the Wednesday Bible study group, if you've got time on a Wednesday at noon, I'm starting to think that maybe in 2026, Our burning bush isn't a plant on fire, but a PowerPoint presentation and some spreadsheets. It has a lot of the same hallmarks of the burning bush. Like Moses, we have been going about our fairly comfortable lives when it showed up in our midst. We were healing and strengthening from past challenges. We had turned a new page in our book and we were finding our groove. Life was and still is looking very promising, with some hard times behind us and a bright future and new life ahead. But then we heard this voice. I mean, it sounded like the voices of our friends and our neighbors, but within their voices and under them and around them came another voice. A voice with something to say that is, for some of us at least, understandably shocking news that rattles our comfort to some degree. News that feels uncertain. News that doesn't have a clear path or a predictable outcome. And news that might even sound kind of threatening to what we know and what we enjoy and what we have come to count on. We have heard and are still hearing a voice that is asking us to consider we might have a new calling in this next part of our life together. When Moses got his call, he immediately started asking questions, and we sure have been as well. His first question, but not the last, was essentially, why me? In his words, it came out, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And I can hear where that might be coming from. Moses knows he is a marked man in Egypt. He knows that his temper got the better of him, even if the source of his anger was compassion and grief. The story goes on to reveal that Moses doesn't think he speaks well enough to lead such an important task. He's unsure that the people will even listen to him or believe that the Lord sent him. But this first question, who am I, is a very special question for both Moses and for us. I don't think God picked Moses by accident, and I don't think God is nudging First Presbyterian Church to look at our future by accident either. Moses clearly had a deep love for his people. Moses clearly wanted something better for them than the treatment they were receiving. And when he was in Egypt, he was willing to step in and try to make a crisis situation better. Clearly, his tactic is questionable at best. Do not hear me endorsing it. But I think it's his motive that I'm noticing. And I think when God chose him, God noticed that motive as well. It's a motive this congregation has operated from for almost two centuries, and definitely in very concrete ways in the living memory of those of us in this room. We have been and are a church where compassion leads the way. From our vital support of the YMCA warming station that serves the houseless in dangerously cold seasons to a partnership with Sheridan Elementary School that brings school supplies and weekly food to the students and families of that community. From the thousands of hats that have been knit for first graders to the guests from Daybreak who receive shoes and a picnic each year from our congregation. From the medical care we have partnered to provide in Honduras to the water and community development we are a part of in Malawi. From the pastoral visitors who make connections with members who can no longer be with us in person. to the multiple styles and languages in which we worship. From the quilts given to guests at Sixth Street Shelter to the food collected for and distributed at the Allentown Ecumenical Food Bank, we are a people motivated by compassion. I've left a lot out, I'm sure, but somebody's going to tell me after worship. We are a people who are driven by compassion, who know ourselves to be called to address the hurts and the pains in our community and in the world. We are people like Moses whose hearts are broken along with God's when we see people suffering, when we see people being mistreated and forgotten and discarded. And so what if, like Moses, we are also being called to a next step where we have to let go of some of the comfort and the predictability of our current reality in order to follow God's call in bold new ways? That's what Moses had to do when God called him to leave Midian and return to Egypt on a new mission. Grounded in his compassion, he was tasked with a new purpose, not just to meet the immediate needs of those who were enslaved, but to release them from Pharaoh's control, to lead them from bondage to freedom. Moses was called to do more than just give the Israelites comfort in their oppression, but to get them out of that system completely that was bearing down on them. So what if we too are being called to step into a future that is grounded in our compassion, but tied less to the places and spaces that bring us comfort, and more to the call of God to help release people from the bondage of systems that keep them poor? What if our resources can be used less to maintain our building and more to free God's people? It's a daunting call to consider. And like Moses had no idea what the next chapter of answering God's call would look like, we too right now have a lot more questions than we have answers. We know that considering this call and the future it holds will be a challenge. We know that answering it will require change. And change comes with loss, and loss comes with grief. But that next chapter is also a chapter of freedom. Who am I? Moses asked God. Now, I leaned on Moses' history to answer that question, that Moses is a man of compassion, that he cares for his people, that he wants to meet their needs and alleviate their suffering. But God actually answered it in a different way. God answers Moses' question about his identity and his ability to live into this call with a promise. I will be with you. Who Moses is to accomplish his mission is one who walks with God. And that is all that matters. When we are faced with challenges, when we are faced with uncertainty and the potentiality of new call and new directions, all that matters is that God is with us. And God will walk us through the challenges, the changes, the uncertainty, and the new purpose that lies before us. To God be all praise and glory now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.